And just like that, it's next week already. Welcome to Season 11, Episode 10 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this episode, we are going to be discussing the release of Ubuntu 18.04, the brand new LTS. We'll also have some command line love, and we'll go over your feedback. I'm Martin, and joining me this week are Alan.
Hello, hello.
Hello, and Mark.
Hello.
Hello. Are you both well?
Very.
Are you as well as you were last week?
Well, better, actually.
Yeah. Oh, good. More excellent. Yeah. Okay, good. Mark, what have you been up to since we last heard an update from you?
I have been smashing up my bathroom.
Is that a euphemism?
Although, is that like smashing the like button?
Not quite.
Tinkling. No.
Much more physical.
Oh.
Okay, what's smashing up the bathroom all about then? Is it a game? Is it a new game on Steam?
Is it Vulcan?
You know that room in your house that has a bath in it?
Oh, this is all going downhill terribly quickly. I was hoping this was going to be far more exciting. Go on, tell us about smashing up your bathroom.
Well, I probably mentioned previously that I moved into a house not long ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the bathroom or the kitchen have been refitted in about 30 years.
Ooh, was it peach colour?
No, it was
avocado.
No. The suite is all white, which is fine. But the walls were a sort of mint green, and all of the pipes were boxed in with sort of stained pine. And
lovely.
The side of the bath was a custom stained pine panel.
Wow!
So
wow.
That's gone. And in fact, by the time
words there, that is.
Yes. Yeah,
it was quite.
I'm having flashbacks,
eye-catching.
To my youth.
Yes. So, in fact, by the time you listen to this, we'll hopefully have reconstructed the bathroom. But for now, I've just removed what we can live without for a week, and then over the bank holiday weekend, we'll be refitting it. So,
are you going to be doing it yourself, or are you going to get a man in?
My stepdad is helping me, but we will be doing it ourselves. Yes.
Awesome.
So that'll be fun. More on that next time.
Right then. So shall we plough on?
Let's.
So not wanting to be left out, we thought we'd discuss the 18.04 LTS release. But because we had David Britton from the server team on a couple of weeks ago, we thought we'd focus on the desktop release of Ubuntu.
Hmm.
So, who's installed it?
I upgraded to it.
Oh,
really? When did you do that?
I did that on Saturday, I think.
After the release went out?
Yes.
Okay, because I've seen a lot of discussion online of people saying, "Oh, I haven't been prompted to upgrade," and
right.
Something that's like a very key piece of information that, unless you're on the inside, you probably wouldn't know, or unless you read the release notes, you might not know that we generally don't prompt people immediately to say there's a new release available. For people on 17.10, which is the release just before the LTS, they will have probably got it by the time this episode goes out, but we don't prompt them like the second the release goes out. It's usually the following week. But for people who are on the previous LTS, they don't get the prompt until the 0.1 release later in the year, like June, July time. Yeah. So I would imagine you forced the upgrade.
I forced the upgrade because I was running 16.04.
Right. Yeah. And I think I should say that just like Das Geek, the everyman Linux user never reads the release notes. So the information you've just shared with everybody is the first time they've heard, let alone read that.
Yeah, we get it in IRC, on the forums, and in every community resource we have. And I don't know what we do to make that more clear. I mean, we could put a pop-up that comes up that says, you're not being offered the upgrade, and, like, tell them. But then that's just as bad as, like, I don't know.
So anyway, Mark, I've got a question for you. You did an upgrade from 16.04 to 18.04. How did that go for you?
Swimmingly.
Wow, get that.
Did you use Update Manager or Do Release Upgrade?
I used Do Release Upgrade. Oh. I made sure I'd done apt install Ubuntu-desktop. And then the hat, like you always say to Alan, to make sure it had all of the meta packages and stuff that it expected to have at that point.
Sweet.
And it installed. It took about an hour. it rebooted, and then I had the lovely GDM login screen with a beaver on it.
Ah, so you were previously running 16.04 with Unity.
Yes.
And when you upgraded, you still had Unity, but that wasn't the default anymore, right?
Yeah, so right. It gave me the GNOME desktop session as the default, mm-hmm. which I logged into and used.
And how did you find the transition? Because there's a few changes between Unity yeah. and the GNOME implementation.
I mean, generally speaking, it's not too bad. I mean, the layout is similar. You can still use shortcuts like holding down Alt and hitting one of the numbers to launch something that's in the launcher on the side. Things more or less work. There's a few little niggles which annoyed me. I found that most of them can be got around by installing a few additional extensions, but things like having the clock in the middle at the top is a bit odd for me. I found that indicators sometimes work and sometimes disappear altogether. Full screening can, by with the default settings, can look a bit ugly because you end up with a sort of double or sometimes triple title bar effect at the top of your windows. Mm-hmm. I mean generally it's functional. I just feel like it's lacking a bit of polish in places.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But that said, in terms of like the apps, so like the newer version of Nautilus and the new settings app and the new software app, I think they all look really good, and they look really good on Unity too. I think that's all fine. It's just the actual polish of the GNOME desktop for me is
I wonder how much of what you're experiencing there, where you feel there's some polish missing, is due to upgrading as opposed to clean installing. No.
The clock being in the middle is just a GNOME thing, and mm-hmm. I felt that was weird, and I found that quite difficult to get used to. And the fact that the indicators over on the right is one big block, so when you click on it, the whole thing comes down. It's not like... Well, each individual indicator.
There's a sort of dual thing there. So there's, yeah, you've got the sort of the settings, which is like the Wi-Fi and the sound and a few other things, which is that one big block. But then you've also got like app indicators, like if you have, like I've got private internet access and Nextcloud and KDE Connect indicator installed. So they appear to the right of all of that.
To the left.
But to the left of all of that. Yep. But sometimes they disappear for me for no apparent reason.
So that's an extension, because that's not default GNOME behavior to have those
right,
there.
Yeah.
And so there's an extension that's pre-installed to add them right. because we know people want those icons there.
Yes.
And I know back in 1710 when I was testing that out on my ThinkPad, if you suspend the laptop and then you wake it up again, sometimes that wouldn't come back.
Yes.
I have seen that on 1710, so it obviously has, and I thought they'd fixed it, so it obviously has come back in 1804. So we'll have to get a bug fart. I'm sure there probably already is one, but yeah,
so
that is
annoying. I've got a question for you, Mark. Have you used the vanilla GNOME shell and compared it with the Ubuntu adapted GNOME shell?
I have used it in the past.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I haven't. Yeah.
How do you find that comparison?
I mean, I found the adapted Ubuntu version a lot more comfortable and usable.
Mm-hmm. And is that because you're familiar with Ubuntu, do you think?
Probably, yes.
Okay.
Cool. So should we talk about some of the other things? Did you get, when you upgraded, did you get the new welcome wizard?
Yes, I did. I thought that was interesting. Reminisced of my time trying out Ubuntu Mate there.
Ah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, that's the kind of thing it made me think of.
Mate welcome. Of course. Right, I see. Okay.
So that thing is new in 1804, and it's, for those who haven't seen it yet, when you upgrade or when you do a clean install, on first boot, like the first time you log into your session, a pop-up will come up offering you a few things. One of them is Canonical Live Patch. I think that's the first thing it offers you, isn't it?
Well, the first thing it does is it gives you a here's what's changed from previous Ubuntu.
Yes, it does. It has a little picture.
I do as well. I think that's really slick. I think that's really well done, that introduction to the desktop and what the active areas are and how you can interact with them.
Because initially, if you were just... You know, you didn't really do things like listening to the Ubuntu podcast and read OMG Ubuntu. If you just upgraded, you might not initially think, oh, this is a different desktop environment because things are all in the same place. So it's kind of helpful just to have a prompt to say, oh, things are going to be a bit different.
I think that's something they learned from people who tried out 1710 and, you know, were a bit, who moved my cheese and where has everything gone and what's this? And, and having that there, it will calm those people down and let them know, you know, here are the places you should focus on and here's where your apps are. And yeah, that's good. I forgot about that. So then after that, you get the Canonical Live patch.
Yeah.
Which gives you, if you optionally choose it, you get kernel updates and not have to reboot. I guess it's a kind of niche thing for some people because a lot of people just turn their computer off at the end of the day and they don't really care. But some people like the uptime, I don't know.
You're going to be all about this, right, Popey?
Actually, I'm not running it here. I haven't enabled it. I did enable it on one laptop at some point, but I don't have it on this one.
You're so precious about your laptop uptime. You know, I only ever suspend. I never reboot.
I'm not precious about the uptime. I'm precious about the fact that I leave everything open and I like it all to still be there. And I don't like having to relaunch everything and rearrange all my windows. And this is something that that has been the case with free software desktops for years. There's very few free software desktops where you can log out, log back in again, and everything come back to how it was. Like the windows are all over the place, or they're maximized, or they're on the wrong workspace, or they're on the wrong desktop. And we've never got that right. And so I leave my system on, or I suspend it. And that's just, what I do. So I don't know. I can see the use for Live Patch, and it's certainly, nice that it's free for up to 3 machines per person. Mm-hmm. So that would generally cover most people if they had a laptop and a desktop and maybe a home server or something like that. That would probably be enough. But I haven't enabled it on this laptop yet.
Yeah, I've reserved my Live Patch uses to my home servers.
That's a good point, actually, yeah. I should probably do that. Put it on my VPS and my home server. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, VPS and 2 home servers good is point. Where I intend to I use it, that. Yeah.
What else comes in that welcome thing?
So it asks to set up some telemetry reporting.
Oh, yes, the thing we talked to Will about last.
Well, it's not so much set up. It's a one-time request.
Oh, it's a one-time thing, is it?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Okay. So that's probably a good thing to point out. So when you install 1804 or upgrade to 1804, either the installer or the upgrader creates a telemetry report. So options that were chosen during the install or during the upgrade. And then on that first boot in the first run wizard, it will say to you, do you want to send that report to the project or do you not want to send that report to the project? And if you're in any doubt, you can click a button and it'll actually show you the data that's going to be sent so you can make a decision about whether or not you want to participate or not.
Yeah, it's a formatted like JSON thing, but it's human readable. It's like the manufacturer of your PC, how much RAM you've got, what type of video card you've got, and not a lot more than that. There's
nothing in there to do with IP addresses or MAC addresses or anything that could uniquely identify your computer, you, or your location. The closest you get to location is the time zone that you've got currently selected.
And if you do close that and you want to go and see it again, you can the program that generated it is called Ubuntu-report. Mm-hmm. And if you run it, it'll tell you if it's already been sent or not. So on my machine, if I run Ubuntu-report, it says metrics from this machine have already been reported and can be found in, and it tells you the file that contains it, which is in your home directory. So you can go and have a look at it after the fact as well.
So just whilst we're talking about Ubuntu-report, I've actually found another use for this bit of software. I had somebody raise a bug against Ubuntu Mate to do with their video card and resolution and what have you. And I was like, I think I know what the issue here is. I wonder what resolution your display is. And then I put in the thing, could you just run Ubuntu-report show and paste the output here, please, because it had all of the hardware information that I needed to understand the nature of the problem. And it told me what I needed to know, and I was able to help them out. So it's actually quite a useful diagnostics utility as well.
And one of the other things that we didn't mention that you won't have seen as an upgrader is 1804 now has a minimal installer. So the minimal installer installs like the standard desktop and then rips out a bunch of stuff that you're unlikely to want, or some customers are unlikely to want, like games and LibreOffice, maybe if you're doing a bit of a leaner desktop install. So you won't have seen that. But
have you done an install with the minimal install?
In a VM, I have.
Right.
Not on a actual computer.
Would you choose to use that yourself?
Totally.
You would?
Yes. Yeah. I never, ever use a LibreOffice.
Mm. No, I'm in the same boat.
So
yeah.
I might as well just not have it installed. And I don't use any of the games.
No.
So it's just not something... Those are things I would never use. And obviously, every use case is different. And some people offline edit all their documents. And so they do use LibreOffice, and that's fine.
I think it's a lovely option. For those people that are just like unsure, you can just say, no, give me all the stuff, and you get the usual desktop experience. Mm-hmm. But those people that have been using Ubuntu for years and years, and they know what their preferred default applications are, then they can go for the minimal option and then just build out their own desktop.
Just add what you want.
Exactly what they want, yeah.
Did you have encrypted home or full disk encryption on your 1604 system?
Yes, I think encrypted home.
Right, so you will have upgraded and you'll still have encrypted home, but for anyone doing a clean install, that's gone. It's not an option anymore to do encrypted home, eCryptFS, but full disk encryption is an option.
Right, so is that just not having to maintain two different ways of offering encryption?
I got the impression that mostly it was due to, a maintenance overhead and deprecating eCryptFS to move to full disk encryption.
And it was a little bit fragile as well. There were some things that didn't work very well when you had an encrypted home.
Okay.
And they weren't trivially fixable.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than give you two options, one of which is slightly broken, give you one option that isn't broken. Kind of makes sense. Mm.
So another thing offered in the welcome was it kind of gives you a showcase of some apps that you can install from the software app, which I think that most of the stuff is there because it's available as a snap.
That full list, that entire window is snaps, yes.
Yes, which led to a few things which I thought were interesting choices to offer to a new user. For example, one of the ones that I spotted was Notepad++, which is a Windows app wrapped with Wine in a snap.
Yes.
Which I just thought that was an interesting thing to offer in the welcome screen.
It's
as
the
you
third
want
most
to install
popular
this.
Code editor in the world. So,
wow.
If you're coming from Windows... And you're familiar with that as you're coming to Ubuntu as a developer.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense to offer you the tools that you're going to want to use. Now, obviously that selection of however many 16, 20 applications that it shows you are not going to be appropriate for everyone. Some people don't want the proprietary software. Some people just don't want to sign up to a streaming music service. Some people just want a standalone desktop. It's fair enough. Just close the window and don't install it. It's as simple as that. Those options are offered there to show, just kind of showcase that, look, you can have Ubuntu and have those applications that you were familiar with when you were on Windows or when you were on the Mac. You can have those applications over here on Ubuntu, which I think is quite cool.
Yeah. I agree as well. Most of those applications when I do the minimal install are the applications that I'm going to install in order to get... the desktop environment set up the way I want it.
And it's a bit tricky because that's a finite set of applications, and it's not one thing that it's not tailored for is region. So for example, if you were in China or Russia or India, some of those applications wouldn't be appropriate. But unfortunately, the installer doesn't give us the ability to have a different set of applications per region or per country or anything like that. So we had to just choose a set that might be good globally, if that makes sense. Mm. And then you're installed and everything's done. So are you running Ubuntu 18.04 now, Mark?
I am.
And Martin, I assume you're running 18.04 Ubuntu Martin.
I am, yes.
Right. And I'm running 18.04 Unity.
And was that because you upgraded and then you logged into the Unity session?
It's because, I upgraded earlier on. I didn't upgrade at release.
He upgraded before it was cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Upgrade hipster.
Yes, you're totally right. That's exactly right. I am cool. Please. So I upgraded a month or two back, and I had a problem with GNOME Shell on three screens, because I have three screens on this laptop. And so I switched to Unity because I know Unity works on three screens and it works really well on three screens. So, and I've just stuck with it since then.
I should probably mention at this point that I am currently logged into Unity.
And why is that?
Partly because I wanted to make sure that everything worked for recording the show, but also the occasional disappearance of the indicators was getting to me. Right. Now I know that it's specifically if I suspend and resume, I can try that and maybe file a bug.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That would be awesome if you could, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else we want to mention about 1804? The fun on release day, perhaps?
Well, there was a little bit of fun on release day.
Go on, then you two are on the inside of this, so, yeah. Well, it's, spill the beans, so much, let us inside the sausage factory.
It's inside the sausage factory, but it's all public. Like, it's not like...
All of this happened in the open, yeah. So if you were sitting in the Ubuntu release channel on April the 26th, you would have seen this unfold, but there was an 11th hour bug discovered in the installer, which was kind of critical, and it was actually... preventing the install from completing properly. And that was debugged and a patch was put in place. But that whole process meant that the release on April the 26th, in some parts of the world, it may have been April the 27th when the release went out, but at least somewhere in the world, it was still April the 26th.
To be fair, it is always the next day somewhere in the world when we release. Yeah. Always, always, always. Because we generally release sometime during the working day in the UK.
Okay, yeah.
So, and because when someone like patches the core components that are on the CD, that means the CDs have to be respun. And it's not just the Ubuntu CD that gets respun. Yeah. They all get respun. Like,
And this is where some of the, you know, the delay happens, is because there can't be an Ubuntu release until all of the flavors have recompleted their testing and signed off on their images, and the project as a whole has all marked their images ready. So every flavor had to redo their testing and remark their images ready before the Foundations team could actually do the release.
So right up until the last minute, we were all downloading all the flavor ISOs and spinning them all up and booting them up and doing the installs and confirming them and marking them done right until the last minute.
And I was somewhere in a bar in the north of Spain at 1 o'clock in the morning with 2% battery on my laptop, begging somebody in a bar to plug my power cable in behind the bar, obscuring their ability to get to the optics for the drinks whilst I was desperately doing the last of the testing.
Did you explain why it was so important?
Yeah. No, we were just buying lots of Cuba Libres to duplicate them.
So yeah, if any of you have installed 1804 or you plan to install 1804, you've tried it out, we'd love to hear your feedback. I think that's all we wanted to mention, isn't it?
Yep.
If you love the command line as much as we do, send us a command that will blow our minds and we might even mention it on the show. Send your command line love to show@ubuntupodcast.org.
So it's now time for a type of love, and this type of love is for the command line. And this was sent to us by listener Simon Butcher. And he says that he couldn't find any mention of the oldie but goldie yes command in the command line love archives. So... Mark, do you want to take it away with what yes does?
Yeah, so if you've seen that episode of The Simpsons where Homer buys the drinky drinky bird to just press the Y key on his computer, that's essentially what this is. So it basically outputs the character Y or another string for you repeatedly. So if you're going to run a command which needs you to keep hitting Y to do something, you can pipe yes into that command and it will basically make it non-interactive for you.
Huh. So the example you've got here in the notes is yes piped FSCK and then some file system somewhere.
Yes. So that means that if it's prompting you to repair one of your inodes on your file system, it'll just always say yes, do it.
And if it prompts you to do 1,000 inode repairs, it will do all
yes,
of them.
Yes, it will do all of them. Yes. Wow. And also, you can change what it's piping in. So if something needs you to press enter a lot, you can have it send a carriage return and things like that.
There we go. Simple but effective.
I don't think I've ever used that.
Haven't you? Oh, I have. I've totally have. You know, sometimes you have to download like random things from software manufacturers or maybe hardware vendors. I've used it on weird like RAID controllers where in order to install the RAID controller from their run file, you have to say yes to all of these different license agreements. You can yes pipe into the run file and just agree to all of their random stuff.
Is that legal? I'm sure it is.
Well, a computer said yes.
Okay.
Which is, you know, different.
We love getting your feedback. If you've got a comment about something you hear on the show, why don't you drop us an email on show@ubuntupodcast.org.
And here is some of that feedback. Daniel Llewellyn emailed us at show@ubuntupodcast.org.
My website, Love Community News, is the soft launch of isitoutyet.info.
This is hilarious.
Hang on, I need to right-click and open in a new tab.
So this is a website, instead of asking is it out yet in your messaging app of choice, or Ubuntu community place of choice, you can go to isitoutyet.info and see which releases of Ubuntu are out.
Oh, wow, this is amazing. This goes back to the start of all time, ever.
Yes, he's backfilled every release date in there for all.
Holy smoke! Look at that.
And everything. It's quite funny.
Wow. There was four releases of Ubuntu 10.10 by the looks of it. That's astonishing. Mm. Wow, go that. And it looks like he has an aspiration here to backfill other distros because it says is it out yet.info and an Ubuntu logo. I'm guessing we could add other distributions in here.
Yeah, it could do.
Ooh.
Cool.
Samir emailed us.
Question for Martin. What's the allure of using a NUC, which doesn't come with much memory or storage, over a traditional workstation that can be expanded and customized? I haven't quite figured out the use case for a NUC where one would make sense.
Okay. So, first of all, the NUCs that I have can be expanded with storage. They've got two M.2s in the old one and the new one. So you can get up to 4 terabytes of storage in there, which is perfectly adequate for a workstation.
Enough for anyone.
Yeah, and they can also be expanded with external GPUs via the miracle that is Thunderbolt 3. So you can upgrade your graphics capability just by changing the card that's in this external enclosure. They take up to 32 gigs of RAM, which is pretty decent. So, and what I really like about them is the small form factor nature of them means that I can bolt them to the back of one of my monitors and it's a bunch of wires I never have to deal with or see or interact with.
Excellent.
Oh, it's me. Sorry. Torin Doyle emailed us.
Hi, Alan. Just curious. How many laptops do you own?
13. Ah. I just counted them.
How many of them are ThinkPads?
Six, I think, pads, and the others are also RANs.
Right.
Okay.
So my wife asked me the other day, because I'd got lots of laptops out whilst I was doing the testing for 1804, and she said, how many laptops have you actually got? So Agatha and I counted them, and there's 22. As a family, we agreed that's too many. So we're going to sell some, yeah.
Good call.
Jason Armstrong emailed us.
I've been using Ubuntu Mate's 1804. It's very stable. Love it. Using it with YAC Reader to read comics. You should give it a review on your podcast because it's that good.
Right. Okay. So shall we tuck YAC Reader into the Vault of Love?
Yeah, we could do that.
All right, then let's do that. Raoul Jaishil, I think I...
butchered that.
I think that's right. Yep. Yeah, butchered that good and well. He also emailed us. Lots of email this week.
You've never addressed this question on the show, but I haven't been able to find a good answer for it online. Are Snap packages likely to be significantly bigger than their other counterparts? Is that a good enough reason to be using packages from PPAs where those are available instead of Snaps?
Oh, gosh.
I answered this at UbuCon Europe. Shall I give the answer I gave there?
And depends how fast you can give the answer.
The answer is snaps aren't necessarily always bigger than debs. A snap may look big when you look at it in isolation, but it's compressed on disk. And the equivalent application that's a deb, when you add the other dependencies that that deb requires, is often bigger than the snap.
Cool. Good summary.
Mm. How was that for succinct?
Good.
Right. Well, that's all for episode 10.
10? We're into double digits.
I know, in double digits. I can't remember what the pictures look like for these episodes anymore, so I can't wait to see what episode 10's picture might be.
Oh, you're giving away the magic now.
Oh, yeah, I am. Anyway, we'll be back next week. If you want to get in touch, join our Telegram group on ubuntupodcast.org/telegram. See you all next time.
And are we going to put a link to your eBay so people can buy your laptop?
Yeah, I better get on that.